Good morning, listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. In case you've just discovered my program, we're here every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30. The primary topic of discussion covers everything and anything you'd want to know about our pet dogs. I have as my guest this morning Phil Guida. I'm out of breath, sorry. Phil is a professional dog trainer who owns his own business, Canine Dimensions. He specializes in doing in-home training in South Jersey and other areas in the Delaware Valley. Phil is also on the board of directors of the Camden County Animal Shelter in Blackwood, New Jersey. We'll be talking to Phil this morning about the shelter and dogs that wind up in the shelter. But before we do, please give me a minute to let you know what my services are here in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. My guest, Phil Guida, is with me right here at the station this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Rini.
Thanks so much for joining me today.
Sure.
Phil, you have a wonderful article on your website that gives excellent advice to people who are considering adopting a shelter dog. I want to make sure later in this program to mention that article and to direct people where to read it. I have lots of questions for you, and we have very little time, so you want to get started?
Sure, sounds good.
Good. Tell me, what are some of the more typical reasons that people surrender their dogs to the shelter?
Well, interestingly, you sometimes have to probe to get to the real reason. People will often say things like job transfer, or they're moving, or someone in the home is allergic. But we find that if we probe sometimes for the real reason, that it's other things. It's things relating to behavior. A common reason, unfortunately, why people will surrender an animal to a shelter has to do with housebreaking, which I always thought was nuts because housebreaking is so easily fixable. I compare it to your car has a flat tire, so you get a new car instead of fixing the tire. Any dog can be housebroken, and for people to get rid of a dog for that reason, I always find that to just be astonishing. I'm sure in your dog training business that you can probably have a dog housebroken in a matter of one or two visits.
Right? One visit usually gets them started, and if they follow the protocols, they have a house-trained dog within a week or two, and there's no problems, and there's no reason to punish the puppy because he's having an accident. And I like to tell people, too, especially if they have children, they were very patient with their children. I mean, how long does it take a baby to get out of a diaper? You don't hit the baby for having an accident in the diaper. Why would you hit a dog or put his nose in it? I think it's inhumane.
Yeah, I just actually received an email from somebody who said, I've tried everything to housebreak my puppy. I tried swatting him with a newspaper and sticking his nose in the mess and squirting the dog with water. I mean, just unbelievable that in this day and age, with all of the information that's available to people on the internet and elsewhere, that people still follow those old wives' tales of things that, you know, your Uncle Joe used to do it with his dog, so it must work. It's just amazing to me that people are still doing things like that. It's cruel and it's counterproductive, and it has nothing to do with housebreaking. Housebreaking is all about train the owner. Housebreaking is a verb. It's something people have to do to accomplish.
Good point. That's an excellent point. One of the things that I would like to bring across to people in this season especially, and I'm sure you'll agree, is that when people get puppies for Christmas, this is a really hard time to housebreak a dog. If you are going to be taking the dog out for potty breaks, I mean, we're going to have a blizzard this weekend from what I understand, it's a very difficult season to house train a puppy or to socialize a puppy. So think twice, maybe three times, before you decide to bring a puppy into the home until the weather turns a little bit warmer. In Camden County Animal Shelter, is there something that they do when if a dog is surrendered? Do they do any kind of test that checks the dog out for the temperament? Is there anything like that offered there?
Yes, most animal shelters, including Camden County Animal Shelter, conduct temperament tests of dogs when they are either surrendered or when they come in as strays. We need to give the dog a few days to settle in, and then we want to get to know the dog so that we don't take, for example, a 95-pound Doberman and put him in a house with a 4-year-old child. We need to, at the shelter, try to understand what the best match would be for that dog based on its temperament. Is it a dog that would do better in a home without children, perhaps? Or is it a dog that can tolerate lots of exercise and attention and lots of frenzy in the home? That would be a good match for a family with children. So we do a number of different tests with the dog. And, of course, a test is not a guarantee of the future behavior of an animal. There is no way to predict with certainty the future behavior of any animal. But we do have a few methods that we use to sort of test for very common problems, things that maybe we can work on while the dog is with us, and things that we can send people home with specific instructions to work on when they get their new dog home.
Okay. So if the dog is surrendered, let's say, on a Monday, how much time would you give the dog before you would test him? Don't you think that when dogs first come into a shelter, they're really stressed? Are they going to be who they are when you test them?
Some of the more confident, easygoing dogs can be tested within 48 hours, but we like to give, in general, 3 to 5 days for the dog to settle in. Now, there have been studies that indicate that when they tested dogs who immediately arrived and they compared those results with the subsequent tests, that there was not a tremendous difference in the result. I find that interesting because it doesn't necessarily parallel my own experience, but it was a fairly extensive study that was conducted recently. So the jury is still out. Some shelters have policies where they test the dog immediately on admission, and other shelters, such as Camden County, prefer to wait a few days to give the dog a chance to settle in. The important thing is that we want to get to know the dog so that we can give the potential adopter as much information as possible to take home with them. But I want to stress that a test is only a snapshot. It's just a test. It's not a guarantee of future behavior. People have to follow some common sense safeguards, especially in homes with children, with any dog they bring into their home, whether it comes from a shelter or a friend or a neighbor or a breeder. With any dog, we always want to stress things like no physical punishment of a dog.
Excellent advice. Excellent advice.
Proper positive training methods, like the methods that are used by the Jersey dog trainer.
Thank you. That's wonderful. I'm glad that you think that way. So in my way of thinking, when I work with a shelter dog, a dog that's been rescued, I'm very happy when I know that a temperament test has been done, because they do have certain pretty key rule outs. Can you briefly describe what exactly is involved when you do a temperament test?
Part of it involves doing things that people might do in the home that they shouldn't. Certain types of handling, for example. So everybody knows you should never tug a dog's tail. We also know that kids tend to tug a dog's tail. So one of the tests that we do is we'll handle the dog in a way that would tend to make it a little bit uncomfortable, giving minor stress enough that we can detect changes in body language. So we'll do things like touch a tail, touch the ears, handle the paws. We'll handle the dog in a way that we can observe his or her reaction to the handling.
Okay.
We also do a test for common forms of aggression, such as resource guarding. Resource guarding is a dog's tendency to protect its food, bones, high-value objects, and treats. So we'll test the dog for things like food guarding, and if we observe that, we'll be able to give the potential adopters some warnings and some safeguards and some instructions on how to correct that and at least manage that situation when they get the dog home. In other words, try to prevent the surprise of someone finding out on their own that the dog has a particular behavior or temperament issue, not just with aggression, but also with things like fear. We want to test the dog for hand shyness. We want to test the dog for a variety of common household things that might create fearfulness in a dog.
Okay. So if you want to make sure that a dog is going to be an appropriate adoption for a family, let's say that where they have a 3 or 4 year old child, how do you test the dog with that without using a child as sort of like a guinea pig?
We test it by subjecting it to the handling that would occur in a home with a child. We really don't have to use a child to test to see how a dog is going to be with a child.
Right.
Because we're going to be doing the same types of things. The adult tester who's trained to, it's important to know that we're not trying to get the dog to aggress. We're trying to stop just short of that point. We're watching for the body language in the dog that tells us that the dog is uncomfortable. We're never pushing a dog to the point where we're going to make it bite someone during a test. Not at all. That just can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
The people who do the tests are trained. They're professional. They know what they're doing, and they do it every day. When you handle hundreds, thousands of dogs, you learn to notice what to look for. So we don't have to push a dog past that limit, and we don't need to subject the dog to the handling by an actual child to get a pretty good basic idea of how the dog's going to be in a home with a child.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, too, about any kind of paperwork that a person would have to fill out if he's going to surrender a dog. Are they required to give you all sorts of descriptive information about the dog's behavior on intake, or would, you know, I mean, do they leave a lot of information out? What's your experience with the honesty that people show when they surrender a dog?
Well, keep in mind that a large percentage of animals that come in are strays, and we have zero information, no information at all. But in cases where the owner is surrendering the dog, most people are pretty good about wanting to give us information that will be helpful to find their dog a new home. And so we ask questions about house training. We ask questions about activity level. We certainly touch on the area of fear and aggression. We want to get as much information from the current owner as we can to be confident that we're placing the dog in a new home that will work for the dog and for the family. We want to just do a responsible job, and it's really, the community works together to accomplish that goal. The person who's surrendering the dog has a responsibility to the community, just as the people who operate animal shelters have a responsibility to the community to match the right dog with the right family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's safety is extremely important, especially when a family is adopting a dog. How about cats and dogs? If you have a dog there that you're temperament testing, would you check him out with cats? Would you watch him carefully, what his behavior is with other dogs? Would that make any particular decision for you as to whether a dog would pass or fail a temperament test?
We do dog and cat tests on certain dogs under certain circumstances. We want to keep all of the animals safe, so we're certainly not going to put a dog in a room with a loose cat just to see what happens. There's a way to test it so there's an appropriate protection for the cat.
Mm-hmm.
But we could tell the prey drive of a dog based on how he reacts to the cat when he sees the cat. There's a normal, playful, friendly reaction. There's a fixating reaction that shows that the dog may be regarding the cat as a prey object, which is certainly an indication that that dog is not going to go home to a family that has a cat. So we do test most dogs for dog and cat friendliness. But even some of the dogs that will be friendly with a cat will regard the cat as a play object, which is just as bad. We don't want the dog thinking he can play with a cat the way he plays with another dog. The body language that a cat displays is the exact opposite meaning of the body language that a dog will display. For example, when a dog puts his chest down and raises his hindquarters, it means, I want to play. When a cat does that exact same thing, it means, get away from me, I don't want to play.
Wow.
So dogs and cats have a hard time communicating because animals communicate through body language. It takes a dog and a cat a long time to sort of learn each other's languages.
All right. I also see in a lot of homes that I go into, if there's a dog or even a puppy in the home and they have cats, cats can be quite smart and quite... they love to tease. They'll come up to the dog and they'll be perfectly quiet and stand there and they're quiet together, and then all of a sudden the cat will turn tail and run. And so the cat enjoys this type of activity, which sort of sets the dog up for failure. So we always have to think, oh my God, you know, we have to get this situation corrected, and we have to take control of it too. Also, I think as far as cats are concerned, people have to be aware that a cat should always have an escape route, a safe escape route, to go to if the play gets a little too much.
Cats need access to their food, to their water, to their litter box, and they need access to, as you said, an escape route, so that we don't have that fight or flight problem. Right. They don't have someplace to flee to, then they only have one option. And in a fight between a puppy and a cat with all four claws, I'd put my money on the cat. And unfortunately, the puppy can get torn up pretty bad if the cat is pinned on its back using its rear legs to defend itself. Mm-hmm. That's to a puppy, that's the way puppies play. But that puppy's in for a rude surprise when he pins the family cat in that same position. Cats don't play like that.
Right. I hope everybody's listening to this. This is really good information. So tell me what advice you would give to anyone who's considering adopting a shelter dog, especially during this type of season.
One thing I want to mention, speaking of this season, is that the Camden County Animal Shelter is doing a really cool event where medium and large breed dog adoptions are free until December 24th, thanks to a very generous donor. So we can get some great dogs, really good homes at this time of year, thanks to that anonymous, generous donor. Medium and large sized dogs are actually free now till December 24th.
Excellent.
However, before you go in there into any shelter and just on the spur of the moment think about getting a dog, I really encourage people to meet with the entire family and discuss what you want in a dog. Sometimes the family meeting is going to reveal exactly the type of dog that you should have, and other times the family meeting is going to reveal that the lifestyle is just not right for a dog at this time. Especially young puppies. If you take home a young puppy, keep in mind that somebody has to be there with that puppy to let the puppy out during the day, to properly house train the puppy, to get it house trained as quickly as possible. You really have to think about what is our lifestyle, what is our family need in a dog, and what does the dog need from us as a family. So that can only be accomplished through meetings and discussions and lots of thoughtful time. We should never just hop in the car and drive off to anywhere, to a breeder, to a friend's house, to a shelter. Never just on the spur of the moment take a dog into your life. That's what results in a lot of people making the wrong decision and getting a dog that's not right for them, or getting a dog that they just don't have time for.
Mm-hmm.
But once you meet with the entire family and you determine that we do have time and we do have money for a dog, because, you know, dogs are expensive. We have vet bills, training bills, we have cost of food, cost of medicine. It's an expense to take a dog into your life. Once you have that meeting and you decide that a dog is right for you, then you have to start thinking about what type of dog would be right for you. Many of the dogs in the shelters are mixed breeds, but some of them are predominantly one from one group. For example, terrier mixes, hound mixes. And different dogs from different groups have different traits. Hounds, for example, tend to follow their nose. Working dogs tend to bond to one person and want to do a job and tend to have somewhat more protective territorial instincts. Terriers are bred to catch and kill vermin, so a terrier is going to be an active chaser of anything that moves. Kind of comes back to the family cat situation. So thanks to the internet, we have breed selector quizzes that are out there. You can just go to Google and put in dog breed selector quiz, and a number of different options will come up that where you can sit online and fill out, sort of check the boxes of what you would like to have in the dog, everything from size to activity level. Help you to decide what type of dog you want before you just set foot into an animal shelter and pick one out that's cute. So we want to have some thought and some discussion go into the decision, you know, before you make that big decision to add a new member to your family.
What in your experience do you see when people come in looking for a dog? Do they seem to know what breed they're actually looking for, or would you say that most of the times people come into the shelter and then take a dog home on impulse?
Most of the time people come into the shelter and pick the one that they think is cute. It's based on 10 seconds of interaction. Stand in front of the cage, the dog makes eye contact, wags its tail, or maybe it looks like a breed that they like. They look at the dog and say, oh, that looks like Benji. That looks like Lassie. That looks like Rin Tin Tin. That's the wrong way to pick a dog. The right way to pick a dog is to use the resource that you have at the shelter. The shelter staff knows their animals. Use that resource and talk to the shelter staff. Explain who's in your family. Explain what you are looking for in a dog. Do you want a jogging partner? Do you want a dog to play fetch with? Or do you just want a couch potato to lie on the floor and get belly rubs? The shelter staff knows their dogs, and they'll help you make a really good decision if you use them as a resource.
And at Camden County Animal Shelter, do they offer that type of advice to people that come in? Is this part of their program, would you say?
Absolutely. The staff is well-trained. In addition to the staff, we have volunteers that make a huge difference in the lives of the animals there. Volunteers provide the animals at the shelter with love, attention, and comfort. And it's really important, actually, anyone in the sound of my voice who has a love for animals, who wants to make a difference in the lives of animals, Camden County Animal Shelter is always looking for volunteers to do all the things that I just mentioned, plus, you know, other things. You can help out in any way that whatever gift that you have that you can give in terms of your experience or your knowledge. We have one volunteer, for example, who is allergic, so she doesn't spend much time with the cats and with the dogs because she just can't, but she does spend a lot of time helping us out with our internet, so she has that ability to make a technical contribution. So you can contribute in many, many different ways, both in time. And we're always looking, of course, for used blankets, towels, linens, cleaning supplies, wet and dry cat and dog food, any type of items that you have, perhaps from a previous pet, donate them. We can always use everything. Remember, the Camden County Animal Shelter is run by a nonprofit organization that is helping to try to make a difference in the lives of these animals every day. And we need, you know, support from you in terms of your time and in terms of whatever you can donate.
Do they accept financial donations? I'm sure they do, right?
Sure, yes.
And how can somebody donate money to the Camden County Animal Shelter?
They can stop by and see us, or they can go online to ccasnj.org, and there's plenty of information there on how they can get involved. That's ccasnj. org.
That's great. I don't want to end this program before we talk about an article that you have on your website. I read that article and I was so impressed with it. You have an article there that will help people determine whether or not a dog would be appropriate for them in their family. You talk a little bit about people doing their own version of a temperament test. Can you talk a little bit about that for the next minute or so?
Sure. If you go to caninedimensions.com, at the bottom page, there's a link that says how to choose the right dog from your local animal shelter. And that article mentions a few things. First of all, it talks a little bit about walking through your local shelter with a plan and avoiding some common adoption mistakes. And it touches on the things that I mentioned earlier concerning matching your family's lifestyle to the right type of dog. And then there's a section there on how to do sort of a mini temperament test on your own. And the things that you can do just in a few minutes involve sort of choosing the dog with your head, including with your heart. Obviously, there's no substitute for that emotional feeling of, hey, there's the right dog for me. But in addition, we want to make sure that we take some time to observe the dog in the shelter. So we talk about approaching the kennel and watching to see if the dog shows a friendly interest in you. And the article describes exactly how to do that. Also, we ask you to make sure that we have the ability to meet quietly in a room with the dog and to spend a little time observing and making gentle physical contact with the dog to see if the dog is showing sociability. Is the dog enjoying the contact? Is there a visibly friendly reaction when you meet him, such as a low tail wag or a move for him to get closer to you or even a play bow? On the other hand, a dog that sort of barks at you or looks away from you or gives you an angry or fearful reaction like a tucked tail, well, that's kind of a warning flag. Then you can do things like give the dog three simple pets from his neck to his tail. Long, slow strokes, pausing about 2 or 3 seconds between each stroke. Your objective there is to watch the dog's reaction when you're doing that. Handling the dog by his paws and then evaluating his play drive and his food drive. These are all things that are sort of outlined in that article, Rini. Again, it's on caninedimensions.com. And the link says, Adopting a Sheltered Dog. It's one of the blue links at the bottom of the homepage on caninedimensions.com.
Okay. What can you give people a general idea of absolutely what to avoid when they first go into the kennel area? Are there certain dogs specifically that you would say don't even consider even for a minute?
Well, people are not going to like hearing this, but I generally tell people to think twice about adopting the fearful, trembling dog huddled in the corner. I know it's everybody's desire to rescue an animal, and that's great. Don't take on more than you can handle, though. The fearful, trembling dog in the corner is usually a project dog. It's going to require visits by a dog trainer. It's going to require a real commitment. The worst thing you can do is to try to bring home a dog that you're not really ready for, that you can't make that commitment to in terms of your time and money, and then end up someday having to bring that dog back. That would be a tragedy for everyone.
That's right. The sake of the dog is you have to consider also, because if you take a dog home, this is not an experiment. You know, it's not try before you buy, and it's not, well, if it doesn't work out, we'll just take him back. That's not the kind of attitude you want to adopt a dog with. Thank you, Phil, very much for coming in here with all your good information. Please visit www.caninedimensions.com. I want to let you guys know about a program that's being offered at Kutztown University. Some of you who are listening today might also have challenging dogs, and maybe you have an interest in learning how to work with them. A unique non-credit program is available at Kutztown. It offers a comprehensive curriculum designed to teach you the necessary skills to become a professional dog trainer or to help your own dogs through their major behavior problems. A new cohort is forming now for 2010. I would suggest, if you have an interest in this, contact Kutztown University at area code 610-683-1382. That's area code 610-683-1382. You might just find yourself attempting to get into a very rewarding career. So contact them today. Also want to let you know that next week I'll be interviewing a professional again. Her name is Susan Belanda. She is an ethologist, one who studies the behavior of animals in their natural environment. And we're going to talk a lot about puppies next week. It's a special season, and this is a subject that everybody needs to learn more about. So I hope you'll listen in next week to Thursday in the Doghouse. Please go out and take your dog for a walk this afternoon after it warms up a little bit. And I'll see you next week.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?